come down to this kid's throat top. He's not your everyday on the block. He knows how to work with wood. He's got making his way to the top. He often gets a comment on his name. People keep asking him, was it giving that birth that doesn't stand for an acronym? No, he's leaving proof. Put a rock in the booth. He'll get you buzzing quicker than a shot of vodka with juice. Him and his crew are known around as one of the best. Dedicated to what they do and give 100%.
Forget Mike, nobody really knows how or why he works so hard. It seems like he's never got time, because he writes every note, he writes every line. And I've seen him at work when that light goes on in his mind. It's like a design is written in.
All right, sorry, took a little longer to get settled in today than normal. Welcome into the zone on this beautiful Tuesday. Justin Akrey, thrilled to be joined again by the voice of the Arkansas Travelers and Mr. High Profile himself. He is, in fact, Phil Elson.
I'm not Mr. High Profile. I didn't see who was in this last Sunday's, but that's the Mr. or Mrs. High Profile.
Will always be Mr. High Profile to me, Phil. It's one of the honors I will never attain.
Well, you don't know that.
I need to start a low profile. I would settle for the Saturday thing where they come in my space and hang out. They're like, what's your favorite space? What would you do to improve this space? I don't even know what I would pick. My garage, probably.
You want the low profile. You want the base profile.
Yeah.
You want the center of the earth profile.
That'd be fine. So tonight is game six. It is finally we have an actual must-win game. It's a game that people have been saying, oh, it's a must-win game for the last three games, but
that's right. Now the cliche actually is true.
Yes. It's applicable, finally.
And the first time, actually, in this series that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Heat have already faced a must-win game, and they won it in Game 7 against Indiana. So, I mean, this is a team that's already had their back up against the wall, so to speak, to use another cliche.
Yes. Battle-tested and mother-approved. That is LeBron James.
Yes.
His mother approves that she loves him every single halftime and end of game as she gives him a smooch as he walks into the tunnel. It's really bizarre. So, I haven't even looked. What's the Vegas number on the game tonight? I'm going to guess the Miami Heat are favored by no less than 4 points. What do you think?
That would make sense. I mean, I think I don't think anybody would expect
seven.
It's a seven.
Seven.
Now, that's a little bit more than
yes,
I think anybody would expect then, except the people that are setting the line.
Well, when Miami's been desperate, Miami's been tough to beat. Guess what? The Las Vegas oddsmakers not only like the Miami Heat tonight, they like them to win the series despite being down 3-2. How about that?
A lot of faith in the home court advantage, if that's what it's all about.
It is amazing. The Heat play two straight games on the road, it says. This must be somewhat old. When was this made? I thought this was from yesterday. They were 37-4 in the regular season at home, in case you're interested. Here it is. They are 7-point favorites in Game 6. That's a very large number. It's a 70% chance of victory, according to this information I'm looking at. If they win, Game 7 will be a similar number. The implied odds of Miami winning the series are about 55%. Even though they need just one win in two games, the Spurs are underdogs. So, I don't know what the odds are of winning the series. Oh, here we go. Spurs are plus 110 to win the series. The Heat are minus 130 to win the series. So you'd have to bet 130 to win 100 on Miami. I would never do that. I might bet $100 to win 110 on the Spurs.
It seems that most of the experts were picking Miami to win the game and to win the series in 6 or 7. So it seemed that you go at that home court advantage. If it was the other way around, if it was the Spurs that had game 6 and 7 in their building, even if they were down 3-2, do you think that the Spurs would get the pick then as well? Because that home court advantage for them is just as tough as Miami's.
Yeah. Well, Miami has played extremely well when their backs were against the wall. And their backs are against the wall now, and it's going to be 2 games in a row. I don't know if they can bring it 2 games in a row. The question becomes, what if they have an off-shooting night?
Yes.
The other thing is, I haven't seen Dwayne Wade be overly aggressive in 2 games back-to-back. Now, he's been able to summon muster up the energy to get to the rack consistently in back-to-back game or in games, but not necessarily back-to-back games. So the question is, can he do it in 6 and 7? Because that's the kind of effort it's going to take for them to win. I think they're going to have to see LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh all attacking the rim repeatedly and putting pressure. We heard Popovich. There was a clip that they played from during the game. He said, you know, it's the finals. It's supposed to be hard. Put some pressure on them. Well, when Miami doesn't put pressure on San Antonio, the game becomes extremely easy, it would appear, for the Spurs when there is not that constant attacking of the rim by LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Bosch mostly in offensive rebounding situations.
Yeah, they can't just be reduced to a jump-shooting team, especially Wade, which has really seemed to change that team up more than anything else because he's the slasher. I mean, he's the guy that's supposed to get to the hole and create off the dribble and maybe, you know, set somebody up off a pass if he's able to get inside and draws an extra defender. But that wasn't happening for a lot of the postseason, although it seemed that in Game 4 it certainly did. And that looked like a different Miami team. Or it looked like the team that we're used to watching.
Yeah, I expect them to play extremely well. I mean, talking about Miami, I expect them to play really well tonight. I don't know if they'll cover the 7, although they have blown them out a couple of times and been blown out in a game, too. So I do think Miami will play better, and I think they will win tonight. I do think San Antonio wins in 7. How about that?
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think Thursday night they get their final crown, and they call it a career. At least a couple of them do.
That would be 5 championships in 15 years?
Less than that, right?
13 to 15, one of those two. I don't know.
I thought it was like, okay, I thought their first one was maybe in like 04. Am I crazy?
99, I think.
Oh, okay.
If you're looking back then to one of Duncan's first years.
Okay.
So I don't remember the exact years, but I think this would be the fifth in 15 years. But the reporter you had on yesterday from the Spurs reporter online.
I don't know what the hell he said.
Well, yeah, I couldn't understand what he was saying, but I do remember him saying something about the people in the streets after winning Game 5. You remember the reaction that San Antonio fans had after they won Game 1? They were overturning cars for crying out loud. What's going to happen if they actually win the championship tonight? It's a good thing I'm not in San Antonio.
I don't know. The good news is they won't be doing it again for a long time, I imagine. So enjoy it.
That's
although they
true.
Do have, you know what we're seeing, too, though, is a good young nucleus. With Green and Neal and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, they've got some good young pieces to not necessarily step in equally for, you know, Ginobili and Duncan, and I'm assuming Parker will have at least a few more years. But you do have some good young pieces if you can get something else going with that.
Is Duncan done after this year?
I think so.
That's it?
I think if they win the title, it's like we talked about yesterday. I mean, the one point that I did get from the guy in San Antonio was, why not follow in Robinson's footsteps and go out on top of the ring? You got nothing else to prove. You made all the money you'll ever need to make, I assume. I just don't know what else you do. I don't know what else. You know, Ginobili could certainly play another year. I could certainly see, you know, Duncan's physically able to play another year for sure. I mean, but it would be a great way to ride off into the sunset. It is so hard to win a championship in any sport.
That's right. And, I mean, look, I mean, this nucleus has been together for a long time, but it's been, what, 5 years since the last title? So that really shows you just how difficult it is. And then look what's going to happen this next offseason as things get shuffled around. You know, there might be another tandem of all-stars that are together if we see Chris Paul and Dwight Howard get together. I mean, my point is, you're right, it's so difficult to win a championship, and with the reshuffle of all-stars and free agents this next season, this might be the last gasp for the Spurs. So they should enjoy it while they can and probably be moving on.
I can barely remember who won last year. I mean, I know Miami won last year, but beyond that, forget it. I'm terrible with stuff like that.
Oh, I used to be able to go all the way back into the 40s with World Series champions.
See, if you told me the Lakers won in 9 and 10, I couldn't come up with that. Lost in 08. So the Spurs won in 99, in 03, in 05. And this would be their... So this would be their 4. I thought they already had 4. I guess not.
A lot of championships. I mean, seriously, it's not tightly packed into some very small window like with the Yankees at the end of the 90s, mm-hmm. and even with the Lakers last decade.
To win 4 in less than 15 years would be pretty remarkable.
It is. I mean, that's...
No, they do have 4. They do. 99, 03, 05, 07 was the last one. So, yeah, this would be their 5th.
And Parker and Ginobili were they there for the first one in 99? I don't know if Parker was there then.
I don't think so. We'd have to look at that team. But, I mean, that's pretty remarkable when you think about it. It's incredible. Now, the Lakers have just as many, though, in that span. The Lakers have won. So, I mean, who's the team? I mean, we've made the argument that over the last decade that it was the Spurs. But, I mean, the Lakers won 3 in a row from 2000 to 2002. And then they won again in 2009 and 2010 over the Magic and the Celtics. And then, of course, they lost to the Celtics in 08 before they started that 2-year run.
Of course, you're looking at Kobe's been the guy there for every single one of them. Duncan, the guy that's been there for all of them with the Spurs.
Yeah.
I can't think of other players that are, I mean, we know, you know, Derek was with the Lakers for many of those championships. Wow, I mean, yeah, who do you put up against them?
It's really those two teams. It's a two-horse race. Which team do you consider of the best team in the last 15 years? Or which organization?
That's a good question. I, you know what? The Spurs have to win that championship first. They got to win that fifth necessarily to get in that conversation because the Lakers have that fifth. They've got five in the last 13 years. Looks like it'll be a while, though.
I'm not sure Ginobili was even on the 99 team. I don't know what year he got there. Second-year French star Tony Parker drafted by the Spurs in the first round of the 01 draft was now the starting point guard for the Spurs. This is talking about the Big Three, the second championship in 2002-2003.
Duncan's really something else because he's the quietest, seemingly most respectful giant star in the NBA that I can think of in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't hear... You hear quotes from him, of course, and he's somebody that the media goes to, and he's respectful to them, but he never really gives anything that's very interesting. He's not a look-at-me kind of a star, and even though I think his game itself, you know, it's just it's not flashy. It's very strong in all the areas, but there's not one thing necessarily that stands out. Maybe that's what makes him such – that's made him such a great player and such a great leader on that team.
Man who was drafted in 99. And he's been with the Spurs. He's listed with the Spurs from 02 to present, so he wasn't there for that first one. He played overseas first after being drafted. He was in Italy on a couple different teams before arriving with the Spurs in 02. Yeah, my memory is terrible, but he's won three championships with them, and they won four with Duncan.
But think of if the Heat do win this, if they come back and they you know, end the run of the Spurs, come from down 3-2 in their own building with, you know, a couple of stars that are questionably healthy or, you know, definitely not playing like stars.
Right.
If they were able to come back and win that series, you know, moving in, you know, to their second championship in a row, moving into next year, they'd really have something going there. I mean, any championship is terrific, but that would truly be, you know, an outstanding championship, you mm-hmm. know, maybe at the top of the list for some of the teams that we've seen recently.
Well, there's a lot more in the line to me for Miami. You know, San Antonio is already, you know, firmly planted in the history of the game as far as great organizations, great teams, great groups of players. And Tim Duncan's a Hall of Famer. I think Ginobili is for sure. I think Parker is. And we know that Popovich is going to be a Hall of Famer. But, you know, the question is with Miami, the only thing really on the line for them, because you've got a Dwayne Wade who's a Hall of Famer, you know, and you know LeBron James is a Hall of Famer. Bosch, certainly the story's still being written on him and the jury's out. But LeBron James has a potential claim long-term to the greatest player of all time. Certainly couldn't make that claim now. But, you know, he's a guy that certainly has to win a handful of championships to even be in the conversation. He's going to have the numbers, I would think, as long as he stays reasonably healthy the next 5-10 years. But will he win enough titles? And that's what he's ultimately going to be, you know, judged by. He's already had one step backwards, losing to a very forgettable Dallas Mavericks team, with all due respect to Dallas fans. Nobody in the history, you know, when you look back at great NBA champions over time, it's an incredible feat for any team, but nobody's going to think of that Dallas team as, oh, that's one of the great teams of all time. That was a huge step backwards for Miami, not winning that championship.
Kind of like the Rockets championships in the 90s. Those were the 2 years that Michael Jordan, you know, wasn't around. Again,
but at least they had a Hall of Fame, top 25 player of all time on the
team.
They
did, but there's still an asterisk next to those championships. You know, not really, but in the back of people's mind when you're a fan then, you know, look, they didn't necessarily... That the league wasn't what it was all drawn up to be without MJ.
Fair point. However, back-to-back is significant in any era against any competition. That's
true.
Amazing.
True.
If Dallas had backed it up, as much of a team as I don't think they're a great team, if they backed it up with another championship behind it, great. Then you start talking about them, okay, that's legit. But, I mean, I just don't think they're going to be a very memorable championship team.
No, you're right about that. Absolutely right about that.
So who do you like tonight?
I like the Heat. I just don't see them losing at home. I don't know what would happen in Game 7, but look, I mean, I think Wade shows up. I think Wade gets to the hole. I don't know what you're going to get out of Bosch. You know, I think Ray Allen hits the open shot. I think he's going to get some open looks.
He's quietly been shooting it really well.
Absolutely, and if Wade continues to drive, it's going to leave some more spots for him. You know, LeBron's going to be LeBron. And I think that's expected. Almost every night, for the most part, he's putting up, you know, pretty good numbers, and his effort is tremendous. The question is, what does he get from the rest of the team? And you know, we've talked about home court advantage a lot and what it means. That's going to be a pretty raucous crowd in Miami. They get a really great atmosphere. They can feed off of that. Big run at the start of a ball game. You know, that that could be a big, that could be a very big thing. I think Miami wins at home. I think if the game was in San Antonio, it could be another story. But this just seems to be a team that that doesn't lose in their own building.
You like them to win both?
Now, I don't know what to think about Game 7. You know, because I want to see what Game 6 looks like.
I don't think it matters. That's my thing. If they win, it doesn't matter. It's not going to impact one way or the other what I think about Game 7. If they win by 40 tonight, I still like San Antonio in the last game.
No matter what.
I just don't know if Dwayne Wade is physically able to bring in two games in a row with, you know, one day in between.
Now, when would the seventh game be?
Thursday.
Okay, so, I mean, you just have the usual one day off.
That's it.
Now, you know, I'm sure Dwayne spends the entire day between with his legs up and ice on the knees without moving. I would hope.
Yeah, imagine. That's what he'll do. So, you know, I guess he doesn't really care at this point. I mean, and being able to sell out for one game, I'm sure there's some things that can do to probably get him a little more game.
It's exciting, though. I mean, your basketball season might be over at the end of the night.
Yeah, that's
true.
You know,
and it all comes down to...
It's not exciting. It's depressing, the thought of it, because, again, now we get into the true doldrums of...
Oh, there's no
sports talk radio.
There's no doldrums if there's
baseball
season around.
You're right, we got baseball.
Around. Come
on. Good point, Phil. Well,
got plenty of baseball.
You're going to have to spend a lot of time up here talking about it then. Joe Klein will be in to break down the game tonight, what he thinks about Game 6 and 7. He is always presented by Corky's, of course. And what else are we going to do today? We got Red, White, and Who for a chance to win a really cool Budweiser cooler. It will be a question about a great American.
A founding father.
A founding father, if you prefer.
That was the thing yesterday, too, is about a founding father.
Yes.
This was pretty easy today.
Founding father, real or imagined. Either way, I don't care. So we're going to do that for the next 9 days. Yesterday we gave our first one away, and then...
Those coolers are awesome, too.
They are amazing. Yeah. Are these the ones that have the radio on them?
I do believe so.
I think so, yeah. They're very cool. And then the folks who qualify also are in the running to win a Budweiser refrigerator at Military Night at Dickie Stevens on June 28th, which is where the Travelers play, you know. Jim Harris at 11 o'clock. Chris Kromas in at 12 o'clock with a review of Man of Steel. It is the Average Guy movie review presented by Tropical Smoothie Cafe.
Baz said that was a 9.9 out of 10.
Yes, he said it was a perfect movie, but he gave it a 9.9. I'm not sure if David understands the meaning of perfect, but it was darn close, apparently. And Matty T also had high praise for it.
That's why I wonder what people that don't like it, what their criticisms were.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know.
They're just... curmudgeons, maybe.
Grouchy, yeah. Yeah. Some people just don't like anything. That's why I like the Average Guy movie review, because
right.
He actually likes movies.
You either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
An average guy.
What was the other movie? The This Is the End?
This Is the End. Now that's hilarious.
And actually, Philip Martin gave that a good review. And he's normally a little more, he's a little highbrow, I mean,
yeah.
But he's, you know, he's a solid, sort of traditional, smart, overly smart movie reviewer.
Uses big words.
He does. I don't even know what. Yeah, it's scary. Anything over like two syllables, I'm out. Syllables has three, so I guess maybe three.
Syllables.
All right, if Chris has a good review for Man of Steel, I'm going to go see it in Springfield this weekend.
I bet he will. If David and Matty T like it, I'm definitely in. And besides, when you're on the road, you might as well see every movie. If I were you, I would never miss a summer movie because I'm on the road. During the day, I'm definitely going to carve 2 hours out to catch a flick.
But I don't do that enough.
No, you don't.
No, I really don't.
It's already 10:26. What happened?
And if Man of Steel is no good, The Purge is what it is.
The Purge apparently blows, though.
Ugh, it was terrible.
According to Matty T. But that's okay. I'd rather see The Purge at midday than see it at night.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I would do.
Also, we're going to talk, actually, when we come back, we'll talk a little FCS football. We've got the rankings out. When Jim Harris comes on, we'll talk to him about Phil Steele's list of preseason All-SEC. By the way, Phil Steele will be on with us tomorrow, the writer of one of the longest running, I think most widely respected and well-respected college football preview magazines in the country. At least for me it is. I mean, that's something I've been reading forever, going back to when I was a wee lad.
Back when magazines, people used to read magazines.
Oh, I'm always in it for the articles, no matter what the magazine is. We do have some NFL news today, quite a bit of entertainment news to get to as well. And Lolo Jones taking heat, but I actually like where she's coming from on this particular point. And the UFC. The UFC is doing such a great job of growing, but the UFC leadership is not helping the UFC, I don't think. We've talked about this before, but we'll get back into it. So it's a potpourri. Lots of stuff to get into today. And, of course, the NBA Finals, job one. Congratulations to the Boston Bruins, winning Game 3, taking a 2-1 lead in the NHL Finals. Blanked the Blackhawks last night. Mm-hmm. So I do like this every other day situation when we get hockey one night, basketball the next, although I did not catch the game last night because I had to catch up on True Blood season 1 premiere, or season 6 premiere.
Gosh, you got a lot. You got a lot on your plate as far as programming goes,
buddy. There's no question.
Some little sports, little vampire. What else?
What?
What else do you watch?
Whatever's on HBO, whatever they had.
But I think you're right. I mean, I love postseason sports. You know, I'm not able to really watch much of NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs with the Traveler games, but it's like in October when you get a baseball game every day that is just filled with intensity and suspense. And I love postseason sports. So the fact that you get two of them to watch, two different sports one day after the other in the finals, it's pretty cool. Just, you know, make sure you don't scream at the television when you're watching the NBA Finals. Hey, that's icing! No, you got that wrong. And there are no three-point shots in hockey. Just so you remember.
Right, no, yeah, you don't want to get confused.
You get a little crossed up sometimes.
Right. Well, I'm guaranteeing you that LeBron James will get an icy reception from the fans in Miami if he doesn't win tonight.
Everybody likes to ask, what would LeBron James be if he played this sport or that sport? Could you imagine that man on ice skates?
If he could skate, he'd be unbelievable.
I'm sure he could skate.
He'd be the most intimidating defenseman in the history of the league.
Would he be? He wouldn't be a goon. He'd be able to score too often to be a goon.
Yeah.
But he'd be the most frightening possible goon in hockey history.
It's a lot of dudes on skates. That's a lot of dude on skates, I should say. Yeah, that's he's a very large man.
One hockey game is by definition a lot of dudes on skates.
That's true. 1029, you're in the zone. Buzz Radio Network, Justin Akre, Phil Elson. You want in? 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037. Also, you can send Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback through our Listen Live button. We welcome it. And, of course, you can email us. It's kind of old-fashioned now, almost, email. Send me an email, thezone@1037thebuzz.com.
Got any telegrams?
Or just tie your note to a pigeon and
it's cute.
Throw it up in the air.
You could pick up the other end of the can string can thing we've got going here.